Good morning. So good to see you all this morning. It's good to see all your lovely faces. I got to talk to you some of this morning. And in the time that I've been a part of this congregation, about a few years now, about 2 years, I've gotten to know more of you, gotten to talk with more of you, gotten to be connected with more of you, and I'm just reminded of a great truth. We have unity in Christ. And it's such an amazing blessing to be part of a congregation where we're together, where we can enjoy fellowship with one another, where we can spend time in God's Word. And it's just such a blessing. Such a blessing to be able to enjoy this with you today. And I'm excited to talk to you today. So excited, apparently, that I missed getting the emblems that at first. Gladly, a brother got them for me. But I want to spend some time thinking about this church and the example of unity that we have here. You see, I see such a diverse group of people when I look out among you. I see people in very different positions. We have elders here. We have deacons. We have people that I see looking out to encourage other people. We have people I see that are looking to lift people up, serving in technical ways. We have a lot of different groups. We have a lot of different parts here, a lot of different people. Coming from different backgrounds, from different lifestyles, from different ways of thinking, we have different people here. And that's an amazing thing. It's a blessing to be able to serve together in that way. But you know, within this unity that we have, and because of this diversity to a degree, some of you today may be feeling a little bit distant. Maybe someone is sitting next to a brother or sister in Christ, and you've had a disagreement with them recently. And you're really not feeling the connection with them. Maybe some of you is involved in a family dilemma. And you're having to keep that family member at an arm's length because you can't seem to work it out. Maybe some of you is even having a battle with your spouse. Marriage can be hard. I mean, I wouldn't fully understand, so I don't pretend to, but I understand that marriage can be hard. And you may be having a hard time with that, having a hard time finding common ground, having a hard time finding unity. Maybe some of you in this audience are wondering what God's grand purpose for your life is. You just don't seem to understand where you fit into this whole scheme of God's plan. And that can be discouraging. But when we look at Ephesians, we see not only God's plan for His people, but we see a grand unified church. Serving together, building up each other, serving in God's plan. Reassuring us that as different as we might seem at times, as different as these people were, we can have unity and it's such a blessing. You know, we could talk some today about the different ethical implications that might have on how we treat each other. But I see a great unity we have already. So I want to spend some time today. I want us to think about the blessings that come from having this unity. And I hope that in doing so, for those of you who are feeling distant, you're going to see that this is still worth striving for. And that it's still possible because of what Christ has done for us. So Ephesians, the book of Ephesians is all about this new unity, this new group. How we should treat each other. It talks all about that. In fact, in Ephesians 1, verses 9 and 10, he said he's made known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. And in chapter 3 and verse 6, this mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. It lets us know here that this mystery, something that was concealed, has now been made known. And God's grand purpose for all that He was doing is to bring us together in unity. That is God's grand purpose. And so I want to think about some of those things today, talk about some of those things. And so to start, I want to talk about the unity in Christ and what that tells us about God's power towards us. The unity in Christ that tells us of God's power. Now, in order to understand this, We need to look at the book of Ephesians, and we need to understand where we came from. We need to understand where we came from. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, read with me there. Remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. This is one of the most pitiful demonstrations, descriptions in Scripture, because where we were utterly estranged. We were separated to a degree that we could not get out of it. We needed a miracle. We had no hope. We were strangers from Israel, separated from Christ, strangers to the covenant of promise, no hope, and without God in the world. We needed a miracle. But in this particularly, why we needed this so much is because the division ran deeper than we could even imagine. Here in this church, we have this extreme Jew-Gentile division. It's already mentioned how these people had disunity because they didn't have share in the promise. But it mentions in verse 14 and 15, this abolishing this law of commandments, expressed in ordinances. They had the difference in how they acted. Their relationship with God was very different. It's hard to even imagine how these group of people could even be brought together. You see, we have almost literally a physical wall between these two groups. In the temple in that day, you had a wall that separated the Jews and the Gentiles in terms of their worship to God. You might have some very God-fearing Gentiles, but they could not connect. They could not serve God together. This is where we were. In a very real sense, we're Gentiles. This is where we were. But that's all changed. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 through 16. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. We were pretty separated, but it's all changed because of Christ's cross. It's all changed because of the cross. You see, without the cross, there was nothing we could do. We could try any human means we could think of to try to work this out, to try to create some superficial unity. But when you had such a depth of disunity there, separation, without hope, no God in the world, alienated strangers from the covenant, there was nothing we could do. We needed a miracle. And that was Christ's cross. In fact, oftentimes, even here, Paul gets worried in this letter that they might break under this opposition. There might be some still division going on from outside and from within, and Paul actually prays for them. Notice this prayer. For this reason, what he's just mentioned previously in verse 13, I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he might grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You see, this is something pretty big. And Paul's praying here that they will know God's love, that they will have the strength that comes from knowing and that his Spirit dwells within them, so that they can be united, to stay united in Him, to praise God together, that all the saints will try to understand and know the love of Christ. That's what He wants for them. And He actually, in verses 20 and 21 here, He bursts into praise Himself for this. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Paul himself can't hold himself back here. He himself just has to break out in praise for what God's done, praying that God will be glorified through the unity and the power that He's put within us to glorify Him. In fact, just previously, Paul actually prayed back in chapter 1 that we will see and know God's power that works in His immeasurable power in us. The same power, back in chapter 1, that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. What this does for us is it gives us hope. You know, this is a dark world. Things get hard. It's easy to look around you, to look at what's going on in the world and get discouraged. Maybe you hear the news. You hear the political corruption that continues. You hear the rampant violence just the other day, the whole shooting. That can get discouraging. There's some bad things happening out there. But you know, God's power is more than that. And God's power is at work within us. And so we might get discouraged when we're looking at that, but when we remember God's love and God's power toward us, it just blows my mind. God's power is so grand towards us, and He's chosen to demonstrate that through the unity we have here. The very purpose of the cross was to bring this unity and peace. And so what this should drive us to is to overwhelm us with gratitude to God for what He's done to bring us all together. God's plan, it's being fulfilled here despite what's going on in the world. And we can have hope in that. So we've been brought to a new place. That's all changed through Christ's cross. But in order to understand this, let's understand exactly where we are now. And so I'll have you read with me Ephesians chapter 2, verses 17 through 22. And He came and preached peace to you who are far off, and peace to those who are near. For through Him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in Him the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In Him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. And Paul gives this grand description of where we've come from. He tells us that we were far off, but we've been brought near. He tells us that we were at hostility with one another, but we've been given peace. He tells us that we had these different names. You had the circumcision, the uncircumcision, and there was that division there. But now we're one new man. We were strangers, but now we've been made citizens. Full legal rights have been given to us to participate in the same things that all the Jews were able to be the people of God. We were cut off, but now we can confidently go to God. We can confidently access Him. We had no hope, but now we get to share in this promise. All of these things have been given to us to unite us together, to unite God and man to us. That God has come down and given us all these things because of His love and His power. God's done all this for us. And now we are being built together into a holy temple and a dwelling place for God. This is a beautiful picture. He pictures us as all these stones being placed upon, built together into this temple, this structure. But we're all different, and we're reminded of that. But we're all, every single one of us, is going to be taken by God and used to build up this temple so that He can dwell within us. He chose to do that. That's what He wanted to accomplish, to build us together. And so whatever you may think of yourself, God has a plan for each and every one of us to use up us to build up his body, to be a dwelling place for him. Again, we're reminded there was a big schism between the Jews and the Gentiles. There was a lot of bad blood. There was religious differences, cultural differences. There was a lot of problems. Even there's paganism and Jewish monotheism. They were not even the same religiously. But again, all of that has changed because of what God has done in us. But it's greater even than that. Notice what the unity we now enjoy. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. We've been given this great unity. Unity to the extent that we are part of the same body. We're all members of the same body. We all partake in the one Spirit. We all hope in the very same thing, in Christ. We all worship the same Lord. We all have the same faith. We were all baptized into the same baptism and have the same God and Father of all, who's over all, through all of us, and in all of us. All these things we have in common because of what Christ has done, because of his plan. Does that encourage you to know that? Does that encourage you to know today that we're part of the same body, that we're worshiping the same Lord, that we were baptized in the same baptism, that we hope in the very same thing? Maybe at times it's easy to forget that, that we're striving towards the same goal, that we're hoping in the very same thing. Sometimes it seems like we're not being able to find very much common ground with each other. And that can be difficult. Maybe you're having that today. But we all have this, we have this great unity because of what Christ has done. Christ has prepared us so that we could have this unity in him. But there's another thing we should know. The unity of Christ, and I've alluded to this once or twice, tells us of God's plan for us. It tells us of God's plan for us. With that in mind, go ahead and read with me Ephesians chapter 4, just the following verses here. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, and deceitful schemes. And so what this has made us into is he's given us gifts. He tells us he's given us gifts in Christ. People that can serve in these different roles to assist us, to guide us, to direct us, to help us. He tells us he's giving us these apostles, these prophets, these evangelists, shepherds and teachers, all these different gifts given to us so that they can help us to use our gifts to glorify God. You know, maybe you think of this in terms of God's game plan for the church. If you watch football, then you'll know that in order for you to win the game, there's got to be a game plan. You got to know what you're going to do. There's a rule book. There's a book where you have all these different plays, a playbook. And the quarterback will share the play with the team. And they have to execute that play. And all these different roles, the running back, the tight end, the quarterback, they all have to play these different roles in order for them to get to the end zone and win a touchdown. And in some ways, it functions like this for us. Maybe these, you can think of these in terms of coaches, people who help us, to guide us, assist us to be able to use and perform our roles as good as we can. Because maybe I don't know how to be a running back yet. Maybe I don't know how to be a quarterback. Well, these people can help me to be able to do that. They can assist me. They can tell me the rules. They can tell me how to do it. They can show me. And that's how people here can function today. Your elders, your deacons can help you to assist you to grow. Even God's word. These apostles, these prophets who are now recorded for us to read. They can help you to grow in that. You know, we have different roles, but we are the builders. We're all builders in God's kingdom. We may be doing different things, but we're all builders. You know, some of you right now, some of you are raising kids. Serve in that way the best that you can. That's a great role. Some of you are teaching young people. Serve in that the best you can. Some can be hospitable to others. Some people here are really good at reaching out to other people to encourage them. Some people here are really good at reassuring people in their doubts, and doubts come. And that is really helpful to have in a congregation. Some people here are really good at noticing who's sick and visiting those people, caring for those people. Some people are really good at seeing the needs in the church and contributing to those. Some people here are really good at leading in different ways. Some people are good at seeing people on the fringes of this congregation, seeing those people who sort of seem like outcasts and bringing them in. Now, some people here are really good at making peace among brethren. Some people here are really good at stirring people up. We have so many different gifts here. So many different gifts, and we've all been purposed so that we can all be builders, building up this great body in Christ. And so we should be doing the best we can with where we're at to build up this body. You know, so many different ones. We can all do what we can. Notice Romans 12, verses 5 through 8. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Whatever position we're in, let's use it. Let's use it to glorify God, to build up his body that he's created. We should make use of that. We don't have to get discouraged that I'm not able to do this or that. Maybe there's some things I can't do right now, or I'm not purposed to do. But you know what I can do? I can do what God gave me to do. And I can build up this body just as Christ has purposed me to do. And in fact, in Christ, we've actually been filled to be able to do this work. Notice Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 10. We just read this here. And I skipped this to come back to this. He who descended, Christ, talking about Christ, is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. Christ came down to this earth and he ascended back to heaven, and he did that so he could fill the earth with his presence. But notice how he does that. Back in chapter 1 and verse 22 and 23, he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. He came to fill the world with his presence, and we are his fullness now. He filled the world, but he filled us. We are his fullness to be a testimony to the world, to be used as his hands, his feet, his mouth, to bring his good news, to bring his gospel, to bring others into unity with Christ. We can do that now. We have been chosen for a great purpose, a grand purpose in Christ. Is that encouraging to you today to know that you have a purpose in Christ? That every one of you here has something you can do in bringing the body, building up this body, this group of people, to serve God better, to bring other people to Christ, to be in unity with him, and to be in unity with one another, the thing that God had planned from the foundation of the world. Is that encouraging to you to know today? It is to me. Now we have to ask, how are we to use these gifts? Because there's different ways in which we use them, and how do we use these gifts? Because we may forget that there's a certain way in which we need to use them in order to build up this body, because it's very easy, if you're not careful, to misuse these things. And what it says right here in chapter 4 and verse 15, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who was the head, into Christ. Verse 25, Ephesians chapter 4. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. In your use of your gift, Are you using your gift the way God has commanded? Using your gift to build up other people? Using your gift to impart grace? That's what God has purposed for every one of us to do, that by using our gifts and our manner of speaking, that we speak the truth in love. And by doing this, and actually in verse 15, notice what he said just before. Verse 14, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, rather speaking the truth in love to grow up into Christ. God's plan for us to speak the truth in Christ by using these gifts in this way is so that we can be matured into the image, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, verse 16, rather than being remaining immature children, tossed to and fro by every which way. All these doctrines, there's a lot of false teaching in the world. But if we unite together and we serve this common purpose to build up this body, we can be encouraged to stay together. We can have that reassurance in coming together to be built up together. We can be reconfirmed in the truth of God's word by speaking that to one another so that we can stand against the false teaching of the world and stand together. You know, it's interesting. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 14, it talks about these human cunning and craftiness and deceitful schemes. And then in chapter 6, in verse 11, in the midst of this great battle that we are involved in, it tells us to put on the armor of God that we may be able to stand against, same word here, the schemes of the devil. The devil's got a plan for us too. God has a plan for us, but the devil does too. And we can get caught by him if we're not careful. And so this whole body is exactly what's meant to keep us from becoming part of his plan. By being part of God's plan, we can't be a part of his plan. And so by uniting together, building up one another, we can be part of his plan. You know, this may look like at times, you know, in football, if you're going to be able to beat the other team, you can do that in a few different ways. You can cause them to divide, and if they're not working as a team, guess what? They're going to lose. If the quarterback's not looking out for his players, to who to throw it to, or they want to perform a run play and they're not green on what's going on, they're all going to be scrambling across the field, and they're not going to win. The other team will win. So we have to be united together in order to win this. Because the devil's on the other side with his team trying to beat us. And if we aren't on the same page about God's plan, we're going to lose. But guess what? If we become a part of God's plan will succeed. He will win, and we will win if we're willing to be a part of that. So, why have I even said all this? Some of this seems kind of irrelevant. Why is it so important to understand this? What does this have to do with unity? Why do I need to understand that I need to be a part of this body? Because God created us to serve as part of a body, as part of a team. I used to kind of go off on my own thinking, I'll do my own thing with God. I'll try to stay loosely connected with other people. But I think I can do this whole spirituality thing mostly on my own. And that works for a time, but it's not God's plan. God planned for us to be united together, working together, to be building up his body so that we'd be built up together, not just individuals, all these individuals serving together to build up his body. And so can I encourage you to do that today? Now, something else we should acknowledge is that we have different roles in life. And so these look different at different times. People in the world are going to downplay your role. In families, in society, old people, we find often are downgraded and denigrated by the world, not given the respect that they deserve. As are young people. We have some amazing young people and old people alike. We have amazing people here in general that are serving in some fantastic ways that are indispensable here. And so don't let the world tell you that you're not useful here. God is using you in his kingdom to serve his purposes. God has a plan for you, whatever you might think, to use you to glorify him and to build up this great body. And you don't have to play every position in the game. You don't have to play every position in the game in football. You don't have to do everything. But but you can serve in your way and follow his plan. But the unity in Christ also tells us of God's love for us. The union in Christ tells us of God's love for us. And we've looked at all these blessings in chapter 1 and chapter 2. We looked mostly at chapter 2 today. But in chapter 1, he tells us that he's redeemed us, that he's chosen us before the foundation of the world. He's adopted us as his sons. He's lavished his grace upon us. We've obtained an inheritance by him. He's predestined us to be his, and that we were sealed with his Holy Spirit. And in chapter 2, we saw all that God has done for us to bring us close to him, to eradicate the hostility and bring peace, to make us citizens rather than strangers. All of these things have been given to us because of God's love, because God wanted to use us, imperfect as we are, to be his great plan for the world. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 13, a chapter we all know, it reveals that this very unity that we have is a sign of love. In 1 Corinthians 13, throughout the book of Corinthians, there's some big problems. There's a lot of problems that they're dealing with. And they're dealing with this man in chapter 5 who has his father's wife, pretty serious. They have these marriages that aren't going correctly. They're not treating correctly. They're not doing the Lord's Supper correctly. They're not doing it in a way that emphasizes their unity. But Paul says the solution to all these things is unity. Love was what they needed. Love would bring this unity, the very unity they needed. In fact, in John 17, verses 20 and 23, go ahead and turn over there with me. John chapter 17, verses 20 through 23, actually testifies to the whole world of God's love. I do not ask for these only, but for all those who will believe in me through the word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may be in us, so the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you have sent me, and love them even as you loved me. God chose us to have the very same unity that he has with the Father. God chose us and even gave us this glory so that we may have this unity, that by being perfectly one, the world can know of the Father's love. So not only should we be able to see the love in our midst, but the world can see the love in our midst because of how we treat each other, because of God's great plan in bringing us together. This is actually similar to just the thing in Ephesians 3 and verse 10. The manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. God wanted to make known to the world and to the people, the authorities in the heavenly places, even the people, the whatever powers are up there in heaven can see God's plan for his church. So can I admonish you to a few things today? Can I admonish you to continue to forge this great unity we have by singing together? Chapter 5 and verse 19 talks about how by lifting our mouths up to the Lord and praising him together, we can make melody into the Lord to our heart, but by doing so, we're actually singing to each other, uplifting the others. Can I continue to keep doing that? In this fight that we're engaged in, can I continue to ask you to keep praying for each other? In Ephesians chapter 6, actually, in verse 19, in verse 18 and 19, he asks that we continue to make supplication for the saints. Verse 18, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Can I encourage you to keep praying for each other? Maybe there's a Paul in the group that you don't think really needs that encouragement. Can I tell you that preachers, deacons, elders, that they still need encouragement too? Can I tell you every one of us here needs encouragement, needs encouragement and unity with this group to keep serving together? Can I tell you that today? Can I encourage you to keep doing that? You know, there's still some of you here that's finding it hard to find that unity with some of your other brethren. Can you see that it's worth it? That this is God's eternal plan, and that through His love and through His power, God's made it possible for you to have unity with people you wouldn't think it would have been possible with. Can I encourage you to reach out and try to do that? Try to make whatever bad blood you might have with someone, try to make that right. Are you willing to leave the world's plan behind for you and participate in God's plan for this unity? Do you feel like you should praise God for all that He's done to make it possible for us to be here today to have this unity with one another in this local church? The last thing I want to look at, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3, acknowledges that we should be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We have a unity right now. But in verse 13, he also acknowledges that there's another unity we're looking towards. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Can I encourage you to keep that unity that we have while also striving for better unity with one another and with God? Can I encourage you to reach forward to that today? Unity speaks volumes to us and to the world because of what God's plan has done through His love, through His power, and through His plan. This is God's eternal plan. All that He came to do, this mystery has been revealed to unify us in Christ. Go ahead and close your Bibles. Go ahead and close them. You know, if you're here today, maybe you haven't become a part of this unity. Maybe you haven't become a part of this body, devoted yourself to worship the same Lord, become united with us in the same baptism we all are a part of. Maybe you haven't chosen to do that today. Or maybe you've drifted away. Maybe you've forgotten the unity that we have. And maybe it's caused you to drift away from some of your brethren, and you need help with that today. We want to help you with that. We want to help you participate in God's plan again. And so if there's any way in which we can help you, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.